1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israelis mourning the two-year mark of the Hamas attack that triggered the war in Gaza.
It would be absolutely wonderful if the hostages come home in the next week.
Hamas is calling October 7th a historic response to Israel's actions. Day 7 of the government shutdown, and a CBS News data analysis finds staffing at air traffic control facilities at their lowest levels since the post-COVID summer of 2022. CBS's Chris Van Cleve at the airport in Denver.
This is not normal. It is not normal to see staffing levels, staffing triggers, as we have seen here.
As more Democratic cities and states try to put up legal roadblocks, President Trump says he'd consider using the Insurrection Act to send in federal troops.
We're going to make Chicago really great again, and we're going to stop this crime. Then we're going to go to another one, and we're going to go city by city. We're going to have safe cities.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5. WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Proposed legislation would specify the time period for repeat OWI offenders to be able to apply for occupational licenses. Joanne Krulotz has more.
Right now, the Wisconsin DOT may permanently revoke or suspend the driver's license of anyone who commits four or more of certain traffic offenses on crimes, including operating while intoxicated. Revocation periods vary, and courts may also order suspensions. Suspended or revoked individuals may apply for an occupational license, but there's a waiting period before eligibility, and that can vary depending on the underlying violation. A bill being circulated by Republican lawmakers would allow those whose driving privileges are suspended or revoked to be eligible for an occupational license after the first 180 days of the revocation has elapsed. Those drivers would be required to have a functioning ignition interlock device in their vehicles.
Gas prices are going down in Wisconsin, but up in other parts of the country. Here's Lisa Hale.
Gas prices continue their downward trajectory, falling 5.5 cents per gallon in Wisconsin in the last week. The state's average is now $2.77 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy. Nationally, the average price for a gallon of gas is $3.08. Patrick DeHaan, who heads petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said OPEC agreed to boost oil production over the weekend, but a refinery fire outside of Los Angeles will cause prices to increase in the western states.
Prices in central Wisconsin range from $2.51 to $2.66 per gallon. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can catch the Daily News Roundup as a podcast at WFHR.com.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. Plenty of sunshine for today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight, chilly lows near 30, some widespread frost developing. That frost will hang around early on Wednesday, otherwise sunny with highs near 60. Right now, it's 42.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Sometimes I'm right, and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. The butcher, the banker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Time for the morning show here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. Got your host, James, here, joined by one of our head of sales. We have Aaliyah with us. I was trying to think of a good title for you. That just didn't seem right.
My bosses would have an issue with me being called the head of sales.
Well, one of our heads of sales around here, and I am so used to saying that, our head of this, our head of that. We have one of our great sales and marketing execs over here. We have Aaliyah with us. Aaliyah, good to have you with us.
Good morning.
And good to have the best listeners on radio with us. Thanks for being here, everybody. We got some fun things lined up for you this hour. We're going to be getting into a couple of things. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club is right around the corner. We'll get get into that. We've got a new work trend, no shoes allowed. I'm going to try this one. I did wear good socks, though. I did sure to wear good socks. I did prep for this. We have that coming up. The states that love Halloween the most and the least, we'll get into that one. We'll have some entertainment news for you lined up. We'll get into a couple of interesting things. We're going to talk about the Fonz, Henry Winkler, and what he's been up to lately. Anna Kendrick and her bout with the supernatural. And Meryl Streep just kind of crashing a party. So all that coming up, along with some local things entertainment-wise. Got a lot of great stuff going on at our local community theater and plenty more where that came from. And I want to get into this new method of payment that Uber is trying. It's very far-fetched. It's I don't know if I'm saying this right. Cash? I think it's cash.
What?
So I think it's with the C. It's cash. Yeah, I don't know. We'll look into what that is and figure all that those things out. And finally, before we wrap up, four phrases you can use to shut down unsolicited advice. God, I wish I had this ages ago.
Right.
That should be good. We'll get into our schedule. Good stories of the day. Plenty of events to touch on as well. All that coming up. But it all pales in comparison to it being Tuesday. And we know what that means. It is Taco Tuesday.
Yes.
It is officially Taco Tuesday, though. It's National Taco Day today. And it landed on a Tuesday. Today is not only Taco Tuesday. It's National Taco Tuesday. Previously, it was always October 4th. But last year, they changed it so that it always falls on the first Tuesday in October.
Convenient.
I don't know why October in tacos. I don't know what the combination is there, other than maybe they just needed to put it somewhere.
I could eat tacos every single day. So, like, in my household, every day is National Taco Day.
I'm with you on this.
They're delicious.
Yes, 100% with you on this. Yeah, 100%. So, naturally, many places are having special deals on tacos today, mostly through loyalty apps and programs. Taco Bell is offering soft tacos for $1. Jack in the Box has 2 free tacos with a purchase. And there's also deals at Del Taco, 7-Eleven, a number of different places. I don't know if our local Taco John's is doing anything or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were. Tacos are massively popular in the U.S. because they're good and they're amazing. They're good even when they're bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many bad burgers I've had. I'm sure I've had lots, ones that are not
probably.
Not as good as the others.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I've had a bad burger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm sure I have.
I'm pretty sure I have.
Wasn't cooked all the way or something like that. But there's certain foods it feels like that. Pizza is one of those ones, you know, where it feels like there isn't a bad version.
The problem is with like pizza and burgers, you can have soggy crust, and that will ruin the entire experience.
That's so right.
A nice hard shell taco, you're always going to get that crunch.
You just tapped into something that is a bit of a pet peeve of mine. I don't have many of them, but with a burger and the soggy bottom bun, you just can't do it.
No.
You can't do it. Now, that's a bad burger.
Yeah.
That's a bad, but it's not really the burger's fault. It's more
it
the bun's fault.
Okay, semantics.
Semantics. Yeah. So not only are tacos massively popular here, but if you try hard enough, you can ruin a taco, apparently. While back, a food blog asked, what's the absolute worst taco topping?
Okay.
So we're going to go through some of these, and then I have also this as far as what our favorite toppings are, or some unique different toppings if you wanted to try something different. So we'll get into some of those in a second. But first, what's some of the worst toppings according to this list? So cilantro hits the list.
Huh.
Mainly, I think, because it's divisive.
Yes.
It doesn't seem like there's a lot of gray area on cilantro.
Well, either you're genetically disposed or predisposed to cilantro.
Yeah. Black olives, which also can be a little bit.
That's iffy.
Yeah. I know my brother is all in on olives. I am the exact opposite. I've never been an olive person.
No.
Lettuce. It's unclear if that means like wilted lettuce, the wrong type, or just if lettuce is unnecessary or not. I don't know if it... Like, I can't say that I really even taste the lettuce, but it doesn't feel like a taco without it.
I'm generally not a lettuce person. I'm the person, like, if I go to order a burger, I'm like, sans lettuce, please. But I like salads, so I don't know. I'm complex.
You like your lettuce in abundance. You're not going to mess around if you're going to have lettuce.
Yeah. Right.
Here it gets even more cheese. This may come from people who are lactose intolerant, but several people specifically mentioned American cheese or liquid cheese sauce. I could. Okay, now you're talking about the difference, gigantic difference of a taco and the fast food taco or the American taco, I think, when you're starting to talk about liquid cheese and everything. I don't know how many people are putting that on a, you know, classic taco, or if you will. Now, here's the one that's the most divisive in my household. And I get into this with my father all the time. We don't fight about a lot of food stuff, but this one, sour cream.
Oh, I knew you were going to say it before you said it.
Yeah.
So where do you land on the sour cream spectrum?
I can't do it. It's not my thing. My father loves it.
We were almost friends, James.
We were close. we had a good run. When it comes to the sour cream thing, my dad, because my dad, he'll have one taco. He does the same thing with gyros. He'll have one, but it's the size of 80. Like, it's just gigantic. And he uses half of the sour cream thing on it.
I don't hate your dad on this. I'm on team dad right now.
Yeah. Most people are. Let's be honest. Most people are. My dad's a lot more fun than me. I am. A lot more likable, too. Pineapple. Not only is it divisive in pizza, but it is with tacos apparently, too. I have never had pineapple on a taco.
So there's a restaurant locally that has I think it's called like a tropical taco, and they've got like this really delicious chipotle sauce, and then they throw pineapple and chicken into it, and it is...
That sounds all right. Yeah. That sounds all right.
It's pretty good.
I'd try that.
Yeah.
These next two, I have no time for. Radishes and broccoli.
What?
Who's doing that to that poor taco?
That's not right.
That poor taco. That might be a food crime. I don't know, you know, where the food police are on these things, but that seems like a food crime to me.
No.
I don't want to, you know, overextend myself here or anything. I don't know necessarily I haven't looked at the recent food crimes and what's on that list.
I
feel like putting radishes on tacos. If you like any of these, please call up and let us know. 715-424-2600. You can call or text us through the Civic Media app as well. I am not an onion person. I can't think of anything I actually do like onions on, other than like garlic and onion chips or something like that. I'm not an onion person. Onions come up on the list next.
See, I don't understand non-onion people either, because I'm half Pakistani, and every single Pakistani dish starts with frying onions.
Very true. Yeah.
To the point where I'm cooking like other national, like if I'm cooking American food or any other nationality food, I don't know how to start cooking without first frying onions. It's just like foreign to me.
The Italian version for us is olive oil.
Yeah.
Like, we don't make it, like if we're making French toast, we'll find a way to put olive oil in there or something. We just can't help ourselves. Tomato, particularly raw or mushy tomatoes.
I can't do mushy tomatoes, but if they're like fresh, like I have, my tomatoes have to be like firm and like crisp when you bite into them.
Salsa, especially jarred salsa, apparently can be a little divisive on tacos. I don't think of a huge difference between salsa and the sauce that, you know, taco sauce or whatever you put on there.
And I like a nice salsa verde.
Ooh, yeah.
Those are good. Yeah.
And speaking of sauce, hot sauce comes up on the list next.
This is also divisive?
Apparently. I think it's the hot sauce in particular. I think the fact that it's, you know, hot. Some people just don't, you know, get into that, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Rice can be one that is divisive. I could see that. Mm-hmm. Even though I've never really tasted rice, I feel like. I really don't feel like I know what rice tastes like. I've eaten a ton of rice in my life, and I don't mind rice, actually, you know, but I also feel like it's one of those things I eat when there's nothing else or something, and how often do you really get a craving for rice?
In my household, a lot.
Do you?
Like, okay. I think my kids would live off of just plain white rice.
Right on.
And if we make it, like, we have to make it in, like, industrial size portions, because it will be gone in 4 seconds.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to have. Like, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Beans comes up at number 14.
Refried or whole?
It just says beans, so okay. I'm guessing all the above. I'm going to guess D, all the above, on that one. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. on this list, there are a few things that have... I think the last time I ate a bean, I was like a teenager. I think I was. Now, that does not count jelly beans. Jelly beans are a completely different category. which I have all the time in the world
for. Different food group entirely.
I'm not a mushy food guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big on mushy foods.
Yeah.
And beans to me are like at the top of that list as far as like mushy. And my grandmother, if she made a meal, you were going to finish the whole meal.
Yeah.
Didn't matter how picky I was or anything mm-hmm. like that. And I'm pretty sure that's the last time I really ate beans. and I don't remember, I just remember eating them and like they, I don't like, similar to rice to me, not a lot of flavor. I didn't see what pulls people to beans or what they like about them so much.
I think you're eating the wrong kind of rice.
Well, there's probably a part of that. Yeah, yeah. Nobody in my family necessarily traditionally makes a lot of rice. My nana used to a bit, and once she went and we lost her, kept making it.
So. Okay.
And finally, avocados and guacamole. This is also controversial, but it seems more people are opposed to warm guacamole or grilled avocado.
Hmm.
I don't know that I've had either of those.
I can't say that I've had it hot, but I do love avocados and guacamole a lot.
When I got to Santa Barbara in California, it just happened to be having a avocado festival.
Ooh.
And everywhere in the festival, there was all kinds of different like ways of having avocado.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure I saw somebody grilling it, but I don't think I got a chance to try it.
Doesn't sound bad.
Yeah, I'd try that.
Yeah, I would definitely try that.
I'm gonna be real. I've tried just about anything grilled. Like if you grill something or if you just batter it, I will probably give a cowboy hat a try. I will, I'll just eat the brim. I don't know. It's that hard for me. I like that stuff. What about some new things to try on your taco for this Taco Tuesday? Well, Love and Lemons, a interesting website, has 25 taco toppings for your next taco bar. I like the idea of a taco bar. I've never done that.
Mm-hmm.
They say the most essential thing is the tortillas.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. The meat is important. Whatever you're using should be good and stuff. But, man, that tortilla, going back to what we were saying before, when it falls apart on you or it's not a good bread or good tortilla, can ruin a taco.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have. I like that they mentioned that right away.
Especially if the bottom breaks and then all of your fillings fall on the plate and it's just sadness. That's like perhaps the saddest feeling in like food.
Oh yeah.
Drama.
Oh yeah.
Trauma. My taco fell apart.
It's right up there with the ice cream cone that falls.
Oh,
That falls on the ground.
No.
Yes. Black beans, they say, is a wonderful one to try if you haven't had those on your tacos before. Yeah. Cilantro lime rice as another one.
That's good stuff.
It does sound like a good one, actually. There is shiitake walnut taco meat, and I don't know why I said that one. I probably just could have avoided that one and not gotten myself in almost trouble, but that is a good one right here that they say.
Yeah.
Jackfruit taco filling. This is jerk spiced jackfruit apparently it's popular with vegan restaurants and vegan places. I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's veggies, fajita veggies and different type of veggies that they're talking about.
Peppers.
Lots of different stuff. Ooh, peppers would be a good one on there. Yeah.
Yep.
And they're recommending grilling vegetables as well.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea to try. And roasted sweet potatoes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Plantains I could get with.
Well, so all the tacos I had when I was in California were all from actual like Mexican people and stuff. And everywhere I went, and I tried a lot of different places. Mm-hmm. Everywhere, the one thing that was consistent, they all had like a cube, like multiple cubes of potato in there.
Okay.
Like just I didn't really taste that much. And I'm not a potato guy, but they seemed all right.
Yeah.
Air fryer cauliflower. I don't know.
No. Nah.
And then finally, pico de gallo and a bunch of other salsas that they recommend trying on there. I actually feel like I need to try the salsa thing on tacos more now.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've really tried that.
Good stuff.
Really good stuff for you over at El Cafe. They make some darn good food over there. Want to be sure to check that out. We're going to be talking about El Cafe and you with our birthday and anniversary club coming right up. It's Aaliyah and James taking you through your morning here at WFHR.
Ooh, boo! Did I scare you? Probably not, but I bet your aunt's mystery casserole for the holidays is gonna scare your socks off. Why take a chance on a frightening meal this holiday? Take the fear out of the holidays with El Cafe in Port Edwards. Order your favorite items, have them delivered, and relax. The holidays can be frightful enough. Call 715-887-2213. That's 715-887-2233. Let El Cafe take the fear out of your holiday.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on!
And save! Badgers win the shootout!
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn! Badgers finish Michigan!
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. Plenty of sunshine for today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight, chilly lows near 30, some widespread frost developing. That frost will hang around early on Wednesday, otherwise sunny with highs near 60. Current temperature is 46.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
It's time to do some celebrating with our great friends over at El Cafe and the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe today, everybody, and be sure to check out their social media. Get over to their Facebook page, because not only will you see some of their great specials that they have lined up over there, current things that they got going on, wonderful other things like the Port Edwards Trunk or Treat. They're going to have bouncy houses, games, pumpkin coloring, all kinds of cool stuff. Their haunted house. They're going to have a best costume contest for ages 1 through 5 and 5 through 10. Oh, darn it. I was hoping nothing there for 40 over.
I know. I was waiting for our category.
Right. 3 to 5. This will go on October 26th. A wonderful event. We'll be talking about this and all other kinds of great Halloween events as we lead into the spooky season here and lean into it. We, of course, are going to be celebrating Halloween around here, too. We got a fun Halloween special we're going to be doing. You'll be hearing more about that soon. Everybody be listening for it. Excited about that one.
Yes.
Love this time of year. Just love it. This is where I get all my holiday out. Like the
Same.
Halloween time and stuff. Yeah?
Yeah.
Right on, right on.
Although I'm not a scary, like I'm not into like scary movies or anything. I just love Halloween and dressing up and
yeah,
all
I'm
that fun
you.
Stuff.
The scary thing, like I don't mean this, like I'm half joking and I'm half serious. Like to me, life is serious enough, like
right.
scary enough.
Yep.
The boogeyman doesn't do it for me. Like
no.
I'm more so like if I just take a look at like the times, like that's scary enough.
Yep. You know,
most of the time, life is stranger than fiction.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
We encourage you to head on over to El Cafe. Enjoy yourself, everybody. Wish them a good morning from all of us. Head on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards and get us those birthdays and anniversary so we can keep celebrating with you. info@wfhr.com. you can direct message us on our Facebook pages, or you can call on up 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Taking a look at our list, we got a good one today. 5 possible qualifiers.
Ooh.
Leah, I need you to give me a 1 through 5.
5.
All right, nicely done. All right, gives us that one. So boom, boom, boom. Got ourselves our qualifier. First up, we want to wish a happy birthday to Pam's cousin, Patty Eskrit McGinn.
Happy birthday.
It's a great name, Patty. Great name. Patty grew up here in Wisconsin Rapids, now lives up in the Appleton area. Was just up there this weekend for my daughter's wedding. I forget how beautiful Appleton is sometimes. It's a great area over there. We also want to wish a very good, very big, big, big happy birthday to a good friend of both of ours and our station and our community, Executive Director over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, Gretchen Powers.
Happy birthday, Gretchen!
One of my favorite people, one of my favorite people to work with. Love Gretchen. She's amazing.
She's
known
amazing.
Her for a very, very long time and have always admired her work ethic, her attitude, and her energy. She tends to always have that strong, good energy that's always going to push forward no matter what the situation. Man, does that come in handy during when you're a director.
I've only known her for 1 year, but it feels like more in a very good way.
Yeah, yeah. She's the best. And I feel like a lot of people that get to know her or meet her and stuff feel a very similar
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's going to be in a little bit later, everybody. She's going to be joining us. you know what? I have a gift for you, Gretchen. It's in the car. I just got to go get it. It's, you know, no. She'll be here talking for Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's variety show and some other great things going on over there. Yep. More on that during the Rapids Report. Enjoy your day, Gretch. Hope it's a good one for you. And we wish a happy birthday to a good friend of ours around here, Anna Rebecca. Our longtime listeners out there, remember Anna joining us. Anna plays music. Anna plays jazz. She's joined us on the airwaves here. Extremely good musician. Follow Anna on social media. Encourage you to as well. We were just talking the other day and got to get her back on the air here. She hasn't joined us in a while. We got to get her back on. Incredible musician.
Awesome. Happy birthday.
And a very happy birthday to Robin Ireland.
Happy birthday.
Enjoy your day, Robin. Hope it's a good one for you. We wish a happy birthday to Don Drewiski.
Happy birthday.
Don, enjoy your day. Hope it's a great one for you. We love seeing these names that have been, like, for as many years as I've been doing this, Don's name's always been on the list. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to you, Don. Big thank you to everybody to get us these birthdays and anniversaries, too.
Yes.
And our qualifiers celebrating their silver anniversary. Happy 25th to Jerry and Janet Medinaw.
Happy anniversary.
Medaw, I think it is. I don't know. I'm so bad with last names, Aaliyah. Part of your job is going to be helping me with last
names.
Where?
I don't even see it on the paper.
Oh, sorry. It's right up here. I thought it was Medaw.
That's what I would go with. But I could be wrong.
Happy silver anniversary, Jerry and Janet. You're our qualifiers. Congratulations. And thank you to everybody again that got us these birthdays and anniversaries.
Yeah.
We take a look at our current list. Oh, I did not get a chance to look at this beforehand. I think I've got his. Yeah. Huh. Mookie Betts is 33 today. I happen to have one of his baseball cards right here. My dad, he's my favorite baseball player. My dad gave me this card the other day. One of the better fielders I've ever seen in my life. Mookie Betts is incredible in the outfield. And then they move him into the infield. He's played almost every position in there. World Series winner. I think he's a Hall of Famer, too. He's a heck of an athlete. Mookie Betts, also great name.
Yeah.
Mookie. It's a great name. Let's see here. Taylor Hicks is 49. American Idol's gray-haired fifth season winner.
Yeah, I remember him. I loved him.
I knew that name seemed familiar.
Yeah, as you said it, I'm like, why is this activating a core memory somewhere?
Yeah. He had the gray hair thing going for a while there, long before.
How old is he?
He's 49, so he's just now starting to look like his hair. It's just now.
He grew into it.
Not exactly somebody that I think a lot of people would think of as an incredible MC or showman, but Tom York is 57, Radiohead genius, and I don't say that word lightly. Tom York is incredible. Radiohead, one of my favorite bands, and got to see them in concert.
Nice.
And it's a circus.
Yeah,
it's just a circus up there, and Tom York is the ringleader.
Yep.
And he is incredibly charismatic. He does not really come across that way, but he was really, like, he got everybody going in there.
Nice.
I've never seen Radiohead has a lot of layers to their music and uses a lot of electronic stuff. And he had this box that he was just kind of hitting things and making beats happen stuff. And he was carrying it around like it was a guitar almost. It was really cool. It was just a really fun, entertaining band. Toni Braxton is 58.
Wow.
Great
singer. My heart.
I'm not sure if she's a songwriter as well, but I know great singer.
Yeah.
Great singer. She had some moments there.
Yeah.
I'm sure that any of these previously named people like that I've mentioned, all these singers, Simon Cowell would have had something to say about that.
Oh,
Simon Cowell is 66 today.
Ooh.
Probably wearing a tight black shirt somewhere.
And judging somebody.
Judging somebody horribly. Yes. Yeah. He leaned into that, though.
He did.
From what I've heard, he does seem to be a bit like he leaned into it in the sense of he's not really as big of a jerk as he kind of came across.
No. I always do find it interesting, though, like that whole genre of shows that kind of started in the early 2000s that always had at least one British, host or announcer on it, where they were always kind of mean, and it like kind of leans into the whole Gordon Ramsay mystique and all of that. And as someone who is half British, you know, my mom, born and raised there, didn't move here until she was in her 20s, and I spent all of my childhood summers over in England. I've never understood what is the appeal appeal to Americans of like a mean, jerky British person.
It seems weird. It seems like opposite of when we were kids,
right?
You know, where it seemed like every English person, if you're going to have a sweet character, they had an English accent or something like that.
Like a nice butler or something like that. And then the 2000s hits and we're like, no, we just want to be verbally abused by the British.
It feels like growing up, one of the older jokes I would hear was, if you got to get bad news, get it from a British accent, because it always sounds nicer and everything. But you're right. It kind of went a different direction
or
something like that.
Your dog died, James. I'm sorry to tell you that.
See, you know, it doesn't sound so bad.
See, you're happy
I wonder
about
what
it.
Spun this the other way, where we started going more with the more gothic or more kind of like a macabre kind of English voice. I don't know. I don't know what did that, but something did. Something turned up. Maybe
something
it was Simon
snapped.
Cowell. Maybe it was Simon.
Was.
He spun this the whole way. Yo-Yo Ma is 70.
Wow.
Cello virtuoso.
Mm-hmm.
Also, great collaborative artist. Worked with a lot of different artists over the years. A lot of people you wouldn't think of.
Mm-hmm.
But I love string instruments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a sucker for a violin or a mandolin or a fiddle. Or any of them. Banjo, all of them.
Yep.
And his cello playing is different.
Mm-hmm.
Just his handwork is so different the way he does it. Think of Eddie Van Halen and the way he plays guitar differently than others would. Yo-Yo Ma, very similar. Like as far as his just different approach to technique.
Yeah.
He's good. He's
super
good.
Cool.
Let's see here. Not saying that name. I will say this one. John Cougar Mellencamp is 74. Longtime listeners know me and John go way back. No, he wouldn't remember me for 5 seconds. But my first real big interview, I got to question John Mellencamp.
Oh, wow.
And he had just started to do music as John Mellencamp and not John Cougar Mellencamp.
Right.
And I thought, okay, here's a great question. Why'd you drop the Cougar? He didn't want to talk about that. It was just a kind of a jerk the rest of the interview.
So, fun story. I actually lived a year in Seymour, Indiana, where he hails from.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody you run into on the street there is like, oh, I'm his cousin. And I'm like, I'm not.
I feel like I got him on a bad day, or maybe I just didn't ask a great question. I don't know. I've never heard anything bad about him, you know. And certainly, you know, whatever you think about his music and everything, he's one of the guys behind Farm Aid, and that's one of the bigger, like, more important festivals that'll ever go on, helping out our ag industry. David Hope is 76 from Kansas. Carry On, Wayward Son, Dust in the Wind, many of those
classics.
And Joy Behr as 83.
Okay.
View,
yeah,
longtime stand-up comedian. I actually knew Joy Behr as a stand-up comedian more than anything
first,
else.
Yeah.
And as far as people no longer with us, we remember Desmond Tutu on this date, born in 1931, South African archbishop, civil rights leader, and a lot of great quotes over the years.
Yeah.
Quote, two great quotes I remember from him. If you want peace, don't talk to your friends. You talk to your enemies.
That's deep.
It's great. Yeah. It's so good. And do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good put together that overwhelm the world.
Absolutely. How can it not?
Incredible man. Also, one of the just greatest smiles. Like, just a great smile, period. You know? A heck of a human being. We wish everybody a great birthday or anniversary out there. We can't think of a better way to celebrate than with our friends at El Cafe. Head on over there today, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great one from all of us. We got our news, sports, entertainment, and partner break to get to. When we come back, Ali and I are going to dive into this new work trend. No shoes allowed. It's coming up on The Morning Show.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. It's harvest season in Wisconsin, and that means more agricultural traffic on the roads. Along with drivers needing to be aware of these slow-moving vehicles, you can help in other ways. If you notice roads that are in need of repair because of agricultural traffic, you can reach out to your local government officials to remind them that now is the time to apply for funding through the State Agriculture Roads Improvement Program, or ARIP. The application period opened on Monday, October 6th, and the deadline for submissions is 5 p.m. on December 15th. Healthcare organizations across Wisconsin are now offering the updated COVID-19 vaccine. As colder weather approaches, people will be spending more time indoors, and respiratory illnesses like COVID-19 are likely to become more common again. Major pharmacy chains have now received the updated vaccine, and now organizations like UW Health are scheduling appointments for residents. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers also recently issued an executive order to ensure the COVID vaccine remains available for all residents and is covered through insurance. Mayor Matt Zacher has proclaimed October as Pedestrian Safety Month and October 15th as White Cane Safety Day in Wisconsin Rapids. This awareness emphasizes the importance of safe and accessible streets, sidewalks, and crosswalks for all individuals, including children, older adults, and individuals with disabilities. White Cane Safety Day on October 15th serves to educate everyone on the significance of the white cane. It's a symbol of independence for those who are blind or visually impaired. Wisconsin law requires drivers to stop before approaching closer than 10 feet to someone using a white cane or service animal to ensure their safety on the roads. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it was the bottom of the first. The Brewers already losing to the Cubs 3-0 when Andrew Vaughn came to the plate. Two men on, coverage on TBS.
And it's a high fly ball to left field. Hap underneath it, in front of the wall. This ball's gone! Andrew Vaughn ties the game with one swing. He's done it again.
The Brewers went on to win 7-3. Vaughn on what led to his 3-run home run.
You know, William gets a huge hit. Yelly gets a huge hit. You know, I was just trying to keep the momentum going. You know, have a team at bat there. Definitely a big moment. The momentum swing, that was huge.
Game 3 is tomorrow afternoon at 4:08 at Wrigley Field. NBA, the Bucks with a 103-93 win over the Heat in Miami. But guard Cole Anthony had to leave the game after getting stitches in his chin.
Yeah, he's good. It was a deep cut, but he's good. I told him when you play defense, this stuff happens.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Even though she said no to performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, Taylor Swift is on top again as her new album, The Life of a Showgirl, dropped on October 3rd and went right to number one. If that weren't enough, Swift also has the number one movie in America with her 89-minute video celebrating the release of her new album called Taylor Swift, The Official Release Party of a Showgirl. Saturday Night Live season 51 kicked off this past weekend and pulled no punches in going after the president after Trump's stunt last week in front of over 800 military higher-ups, which included a lecture about facial hair and maintaining a reasonable weight. During the skit, James Austin Johnson, who played Donald Trump, told those in the sketch not to go too far or they would face consequences. They went pretty far. It's worth a Google. When Entertainment Weekly asked the White House for a statement, spokeswoman Abigail Jackson said she had more entertaining things to do, like watching paint dry. Or maybe something even less exciting, like a president's speech to military generals. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, Chuck Collins from Patriotic Millionaires on his new book about how concentrated wealth and power are ruining our lives and our planet.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Time to lace up those skates with 105.5 WIRI and your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. Join us for every home game this season. Take the pride in your team like they do each other. As Coach Paul says,
you got to have everybody buying in, and you got to be playing for the logo.
Hear insights from Coach on Playmakers, and join us for every home game on 105.5 WIRI. Support the boys of winter as they build hockey up and down the river. Game on!
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Get ready for a stretch that will actually feel like fall. Plenty of sunshine for today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Mostly clear tonight. Chilly lows near 30. Some widespread frost developing. That frost will hang around early on Wednesday. Otherwise sunny with highs near 60. Current temperature is 46.
I'm all just up with nowhere to go.
We've got the Halloween bumpers back. A big shout out to our head producer around here. One of our head producers, Laura and Seth, kind of tag team that. But Seth with the bumpers. Nice work, Seth.
Nice.
Nice work. We got a Halloween bumpers just in time. Ah, feels good. I also letting the audience look behind the curtain a little bit here. We were without our home monitor here. So I can just turn to the left and I can work all these things and spin these plates as fast as I need to. But we didn't have this monitor, so I was doing everything off of these, you know, wall monitors that are a whole, 2 feet away from me here and everything. I cannot tell you how much this was messing with my neck and my timing. It's so much nicer to have this. Big shout out to our station manager, head engineer, the soul of this station, and Chuck Gennaro. Appreciate you, Chuck. Nice work as always. There is a new trend in the workplace, and it's an old one to me. Because I've been doing this forever.
Oh, great.
I'm used to having this, and this was the case with the old building as well. I'm used to having this place to myself for a little while. It's nice.
Yeah.
When you're a caregiver and you live with your parents a lot and everything, you don't get a lot of free time. You don't get a lot of time to yourself and everything. So it's kind of nice to have that in the morning. And one of the things I will do is kick my shoes off as soon as I get in the building and just be barefoot running around here and everything.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a lot more craziness that went on, but I've mellowed out a little bit.
Toned it down?
Yeah, I've toned it down
Good for you.
Nobody wants to know the other things I used to do around here.
Please keep it to yourself.
Nobody. Nobody. Literally. God doesn't want to know those things. So great news if you're me or like this and you like to have your shoes off at work. The hot new trend at work is no shoes allowed. Fortune magazine even did a write-up on this, so you know it's kind of catching steam here and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Fortune magazine did this big story on it, and The Guardian says it's happening in England as well. So as you can see, part of the reason why I wanted to do this story, obviously the tie-ins there. You're going to get really sick of me doing that, by the way. Melissa got tired of like every story involving food after a while. But so more and more companies are banning shoes at work, especially startups. So this isn't an option. They're banning them. This is taking
just
it a little...
Straight out banning. I don't know.
It's kind of a different direction. I didn't expect this kind of thing to go.
I feel like people would have big feelings about this.
You can wear socks, slippers, or go barefoot, but leave your shoes at the door. It's not to avoid vacuuming, which I guess, I wouldn't actually mind that. I get that. The idea is that it makes the office feel, quote, more relaxed and collaborative and makes people less anxious. Tech companies in Silicon Valley have apparently been doing this for years. Which I've heard a little bit about. But it's also hard to tell in California.
Yeah.
Their shoes are an option everywhere in California.
Well, I mean, I can see it from the standpoint, there's a lot of people that say, being barefoot grounds you and connects you to the earth and that can calm you. But when you're in an office, you're not like grounding your feet into like grass and dirt. You're grounding your feet into carpet, which... I don't really feel would be much more relaxing unless it's a very soft, fluffy carpet.
Yeah, especially you get one of those 70s carpets and everything.
Where they carpeting.
Yeah, it's really nice. Although that goes back to the vacuuming thing. A shag carpet is one of the worst things in the world to have to vacuum.
Oh, I'm sure. I thankfully never grew up in a shag carpeted house.
You get a new vacuum because the one you're using is going to be done. So would you want to work at a workplace where people's feet are free to breathe? Some think the no shoes approach sounds nice. Others are not convinced. What do you think out there? 715-424-2600. Call up, join the conversation. Would you do this at your workplace or if you're retired, where you have worked? One expert told Fortune it comes from comes with some pros and cons. It could create awkwardness or cause hygiene issues. Mm-hmm. Quote, what feels casual for some might feel unprofessional or even uncomfortable for others. So it's odd, but what I actually first went to when I first was reading this story and I read the article on Forbes or Fortune magazine, was being on a plane. And I've been on a plane multiple times where the plane's not booked. It's not full. You know, you got spaces open and everything.
Yep.
But there's still somebody who takes their shoes off. And even aisles away, I know because I can smell it or something.
Because you're just in a can hurtling through the air.
Yeah. Which is the best way. That's a great tagline for planes. If there's no plane company out
join
there.
Join us for our can hurtling through the air.
I would
flights now to Chicago.
I would. You got it all worked out. That's good. Is this something you would do? Is this something that you would enjoy? Obviously, depends on the workplace. I've worked at a couple of different places where this would clearly not work.
You can't do this work in construction or anything where like steel-toed boots are required. Yeah. I was actually discussing this with my husband, who currently, he's a forklift operator. And I'm like, I don't think you could get away with this. He's like, and he works in a cooler, so he would get hypothermia and lose his toes.
Yeah, not work.
But, you know, I've a lot of big feelings like, you know, what if your coworker had really ugly feet? And as an English person, I'm going to judge that because, you know, I must have that Simon Cowell gene somewhere in
somewhere there.
You know, so it's personally, I hate shoes and revealing too much. I hate socks.
I think a lot of people enjoy being barefoot. I think a lot of people do. And I like the idea of making the workplace a little more comfortable.
Yeah.
I think that when it comes to most jobs come with a side helping of anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what the job. So if we can help people feel a little more relaxed, I think that the science has proven that that makes them more effective at work and more productive at work if they're a little less anxious, a little more relaxed. But there's a line. You know, I think in certain jobs, I everything I was saying about being barefoot is before anybody's in the building.
Yeah.
As soon as other people are in the building.
You slip the shoes back on.
Yeah. Now, to me, I know I took a shower last night. I put on new socks. My feet should be fine. But I also know that we don't always pick up on our own smells. And I don't want to take that chance.
Right.
I also, we have lots of guests come in here and everything. And I want to be presentable while also comfortable at work. It's why you see me in multiple t-shirts and everything.
Yeah.
Try to be a little bit dressed, a little bit nice, but also try to be comfortable and casual so that our guests feel that way. It's all about presentation.
Well, you want to be approachable.
Yeah.
But the whole shoe thing, like if you were barefoot, sure, are you approachable? But yeah, are you also a little bit weird?
Yeah. Like, I want to have a nice vibe here. I don't necessarily need a hippie vibe. I don't necessarily, you know, I don't know if I need to go that far with it. But I think you got to know your audience. And you have to know yourself. Mm-hmm. You got to know, like... I know. I have clown shoes for feet. I have clown shoes for feet. These things are gigantic. They're actually not feet.
Can confirm, folks. I was just showing the feet.
They are literally clown shoes. I'm not exaggerating. That's exactly what they are. I don't know that many people want to see my feet. I'm not sure that that's something that anybody in human history.
Some people don't want to see their own feet. I mean, you know?
So I think knowing that about yourself, I think those things. And the personal hygiene thing, I actually kind of go on the other end of this. Like, chances are, if your feet stink, other parts of you do. And maybe this will help you finally get that. That is one of the more ruder things, I think, in the office area, to not take care of your personal hygiene.
Right.
I feel like that's a whole other level of office offenses.
True.
You know, there's eating the smelly food in the office break room. That's
microwaving
one thing.
Salmon in the office break room.
That's one thing. And you know, I don't even get that bent out of shape about. But you got to take care of your own hygiene. You got to smell decent at least. You got to take care of that. You're working with other people. One of my favorite actors, one of the people that I looked up to, still to this day look up to the most, is Jack Nicholson. Mm-hmm. I not only on the field, but off the field, an incredible actor, an incredible human being, and nobody has ever worked with him has not enjoyed working with Jack. Mm-hmm. He's just one of these guys. He wants everybody to have a good time, enjoy themselves, and then when the camera's rolling, he's boom, he's into character. Mm-hmm. One of the earliest things I learned from him, every scene we've ever seen of Jack Nicholson, he's got great breath. Because it's a big deal to him that his, like, he's doing The Shining, and he's getting pretty intense and some pretty crazy scenes. And what do you see him doing in the corner? He's over there brushing his teeth before a scene. Before every scene he's ever done, he brushes his teeth. He doesn't want his to have bad breath for his co-actors.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to him. He learned this in theater, and he just kind of took it in the movies and everything.
Now, I feel really guilty that I brought garlic pretzels backstage to to our last production.
Those are great, though. Completely understandable. But it's just something that I think of, and I think that in the workplace, I think it's something to think about.
Sure.
It's not just about you. It's about your coworkers. Mm-hmm. Again, I get that this changes from different workplace to workplace.
Sure.
When I worked in garages and everything, I didn't expect everybody to smell like roses. We're working in a garage. When I'm working on a construction site, we're going to smell like guys. We're going to smell like a construction site. That's a different story.
Yes.
But like here in the office and everything, I mean, you know, it's a little different. I think you got to take that stuff into consideration.
You do.
We are very fortunate around here. We have nothing but good smelling people. We have yet to run into anything, any problems with that, which is very nice.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will say, you and I don't know that you know this about me, but you and I could have had a divisive moment there. I mentioned the planes and being on a plane. I had one experience when I was the longest flight I've ever been on, coming back from California to O'Hare. Mm-hmm. And I get on the plane and I'm excited because it's basically just me and like two other people on the plane. Mm-hmm. And I've never had that happen. And I sit way in the back because they told us, go ahead and sit wherever you want. They had a canceled flight, and most of the people took that flight instead or something. I don't know how it was. So there was like six of us on there. Mm-hmm. Well, this older lady comes on, an older Indian lady. And she comes on, and her daughter, I believe it was her daughter, I don't know, but I think it was, with her. And her daughter tells me, my mom has never flown before. She's very, very nervous and everything. Would you mind just, you know, helping her or, you know, anything she might need? And I was like, yeah, sure. There's no problem. She seemed like a very sweet person. Mm-hmm. We were in the air for 5 minutes, and I had this smell hit me, and it's the smell of curry. And when I was a kid, there was a Pakistani family that lived above us, and all they made was curry 24/7. So the smells hit me.
Yes.
And like, I've gotten much better about it in the last couple of years, but for a good 10 years there or whatever, I couldn't handle curry. I couldn't handle the smell. It hit me, and it was like overwhelming my senses. Now I've come to just kind of be like, well, it's just like another smell. Yes. It doesn't really get to me as much. But for a while there, it was
understand that it can be a device. People either love it or hate it, and it's delicious though.
Darn near every bit of my my creeds, or like whether we're talking Jewish, Italian, even Egyptian, same thing.
Yeah,
same. And I think that more foods are like that than we realize. Mm-hmm. You know, but we grew up around them so much that we don't pick up on that.
Well,
stuff.
That becomes your comfort smell. Like,
yes,
you know.
Absolutely.
You know, for me, like, if I ever cook Pakistani food at home, like, my kids come just, like, trickling down to the kitchen. They're like, what's happening, Mom? And I'm like, making curry. And they're like, yay. But for someone else, that might not be their preference. That might, like, turn their stomach, you know. There's foods I don't like, you know, cabbage. I don't like boiled cabbage. Might offend some people.
My sister was seeing a guy. He comes over for dinner and sits down, and we're having spaghetti, you know, stereotypically. and he immediately is like, oh, I hate garlic. He didn't last. He didn't last. Didn't last very long. Take a quick time out. We'll come back and we'll hang out some more with you. But I want to hear how people feel about this no shoes thing. I want to hear from the audience about that one. Be sure to hit us up, everybody, on the Civic Media app, or give us a call at 715-424-2600. We'll be back with more show.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Concerned residents in the town of Stella near Rhinelander packed their town hall to demand answers from the EPA and DNR about PFAS contamination. The toxic forever chemicals have been found at high levels in drinking water and waterways across the area. The DNR says that contamination came from industrial sludge spread on farm fields by two nearby paper companies. Wisconsin's coastal communities are getting more money to help improve and protect shorelines. In celebration of Coastal Awareness Month, the Wisconsin Department of Administration is handing out $1.3 million in Wisconsin Coastal Management Program grants to 35 communities across our state. Right now on the Defender podcast, the amazing story of one Wisconsin food that was banned, burned, disappeared from our plates, and the comeback that's being helped along by solar farms. Listen at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine, a few clouds going into your Tuesday afternoon with northwest winds turning breezy. Highs in the low to mid-60s. Tonight, freeze warning goes into effect. Clear skies and widespread frost expected as lows drop into the lower 30s. Currently 49 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here on 104. Darn it, I knew I was going to do that. I almost said the wrong call letters. I got excited about the music. I'm going to be honest. I'll be honest with everybody. I love these bumpers. I love this time of year. 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR on your radio dial, streaming on your services. We appreciate you being with us, everybody. Leah and James here. And a new survey asked Americans to rate how much they love Halloween. Thought this would be a fun one to get into.
Yes.
So they rate on a Halloween scale on 1 to 5.
Okay.
And then compared the responses across all 50 states.
Okay.
In the end, the states that are the biggest Halloween fanatics are Delaware, Idaho, and North Dakota, which all scored an average of 4.2 out of 5. None of those I would have guessed.
I would not have.
Several states were just a notch behind that. Alabama, California, Iowa, New Hampshire, Oregon, Rhode Island, and Wyoming.
Okay.
So a lot of the thinner and smaller
yeah.
states. The states with the least Halloween spirit is Arizona, possibly because it's like 90 out there.
Right.
I can't imagine what the Halloween costume.
You don't get the fall crispness.
Arizona, right, yeah. Arizona scored an average of 3.7 out of 5, so not nearly as bad as you might think.
No.
Wisconsin also isn't that into Halloween.
Oh, no.
And neither are Montana, Hawaii, South Carolina, Nebraska, Virginia, Alaska, North Carolina, and Georgia.
Okay, to be fair, we never know if we're going to be roasting or freezing on Halloween.
Yeah.
So I can understand why we might be on the... You know, on the fence list.
In a sense, not that different than Arizona and weather dominant.
True.
Most of us grew up with, when you wanted to think about what you wanted to be for Halloween, you had to think of, okay, well, is it warm?
Do I have to wear a big jacket over this?
Yes. Is anybody even going to see my Halloween costume
right?
or know what I am because I'm wearing a parka, you know, or whatever. I'm the, every year you're the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man because
right.
it's warm. It's just a warm costume. But at the same time, like, I would say that the Midwest, spending time in California and out west and everything, I would say, yeah, California, it was kind of one of the few times I knew what time of year it was because mm-hmm. they don't do a whole lot of seasonal stuff.
Yeah.
It was like a week before Christmas decorations were coming out.
Yeah.
And like Thanksgiving, same thing, barely saw any decorating or anything like that.
Yeah.
Halloween, they did see a bit more. I did see a bit more on Halloween. But it's also like in the Midwest or in that hot temperatures, I could see it not being as much fun.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, the average American purchases 4.5 bags of candy per season, with most opting for the large or party size bags.
Okay.
My dad and I are very adamant about this. There is no fun size in our house. We get the full candy bars. We get the
Do you hand out the full candy bars?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
You're those people.
We go all in. Yeah, we go all
ritzy,
in.
Ritzy.
We probably shouldn't. You know, I don't know that we could necessarily do, but we try. We also don't get a lot of kids, so that's part of the other reason. And across the country, Americans purchase around 745 million pounds of candy during the Halloween season ever. If you listen really closely, you can hear all those dentists smiling. You can hear a lot of that. The most popular types of candy are chocolate, followed by chewy candy, and fruity candy.
Okay.
I would say that, especially for kids, it seems like, and maybe this has always been the case, the more slimy, the better.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of the candy.
Or sticky.
You gotta stretch. Yeah. It's gotta stretch. If it doesn't stretch, it's not really candy.
I'm a chocolate person myself.
For me, yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%, yeah. Like, if you had me at chocolate, like, whatever it might be.
My stepsons are very much into, like, the Sour Patch stuff, and it's just not, I'm not against it, it's just not my flavor, and they're always trying to make me eat it, and I'm like, no, just give me the chocolate.
Is it, and I've actually been trying to figure this out, because I wasn't, as picky as I am and as weird as I could be about foods, I was just like every other kid out there when I was little and wanting to try weird combinations of things. The weirder the combination, the better.
Yeah.
I'll never forget them being a Jolly Good had a chocolate soda.
It
sounded so amazing to me. It was not. It was not. It was not a good idea. But and trying anything like that.
But having like a chocolate, was it like a chocolate Coke, or was it like?
It was, yes, yeah. It was. Okay. I was expecting something a little more Yoo-hoo kind of like, and it was much more like if Coca-Cola, like, you know, made out with milk chocolate. Like, it was not good. It was not good. To me, I maybe it's just because we're young and we're discovering our taste buds and what we like.
Yeah.
One of the like go-tos as a kid. Is what's the weirdest combination I can throw in my mouth here? Like, so the chewy stuff or the stretchy stuff. Some of these things, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I chocolate covered pretzels. I've gotten back into that.
My goodness, I could injure myself on chocolate covered pretzels.
Something they're good. They're good.
They're so good.
There's some that I've found that are like dark chocolate that is even better. That's a better one.
I'm convinced. Like, there's something in your brain that needs to, like, shut off. Like, oh, I've eaten too much of this. When it comes to chocolate-covered pretzels, I don't have that thing in my brain that turns off, and I will just sit there and, you know, imagine something out of a horror movie happening to me from eating too many pretzels.
I could devour a bag easy. Yes, I'm with you 100%. They're one of those go-tos. What is your go-to candy out there, everybody? Let us know. And how are you? What are you going to? What is your go-to candy you're serving for Halloween this year as well? Are you going to be, you know, handing out trick-or-treats or handing out candy this Halloween? We want all your Halloween answers and stuff right here at the morning show. We'll be talking more about this, of course, as we go along. And Ali and I will be back with hour two coming up right here at.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court is hearing arguments right now on Colorado's ban on conversion therapy for LGBTQ teenagers. Attorney James Campbell represents the counselor challenging the law.
If heightened scrutiny doesn't apply, states can transform counselors into mouthpieces for the government.
The government shutdown has entered its seventh day. CBS News confirms a memo circulating at the White House that says furloughed workers might not get back pay. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
There are legal analysts who think that that is not something the government should do. That, if that is true, that should turn up the urgency and the necessity of the Democrats doing the right thing here.
Flight delays and cancellations are piling up in the meantime. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Staffing issues, including sick calls, hit several major airports and ATC centers on day six of the government shutdown, with staffing at some facilities down by 50%.